Shall we stand, please? Father, we stop for a moment in all the joyous times that we have in life. And we recognize the men and women, the Gold Star families, the Blue families. Those have experienced things that many of us have not. And in Jesus' name, we proclaim an amazing, overwhelming blessing over the United States of America. Everyone representing this country, all over this world, in Jesus' name, that the peace of God will surpass all understanding. For every man and woman that made that choice, or may was drafted, but made a choice to serve, Father, we give thanks for the men and women who were called by you to do great things. And in Jesus' name, we just now pause for a moment, allowing you to move in these families. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit, that you will absolutely restore hope and dreams and purpose in every one of these families. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I'm just so thrilled to be here this morning, and we will be concluding our series, Away in the Wilderness. Now, I need to give you something here. Did you know that between Memorial Day and Labor Day, Americans eat 7 billion hot dogs? Billion. I was 55 when I actually heard billion. Did you know that means that every second of the day, there are 818 hot dogs eaten. Every second. So right now, there are 818 mouths just biting into a hot dog. Also, did you know that Los Angeles County is number one in eating hot dogs? We eat 27.8 million pounds of hot dogs every year between Memorial and September. And all you Dodger fans, you eat 2.5 million hot dogs every season. Wow, wow. Okay, after all that, did you know it's Pentecost Sunday?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit came, and we celebrate that 50 days after Easter. But again, we are finishing up a series called Away in the Wilderness. Some of you watching online, home churches, and you here today, some of you feel like you're in a wilderness. But I want to tell you, God made a way. And my concluding message of this series, go back and watch them again, is going to show you the why of the way. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah 35. We're going to go back to our passage, the Messianic chapter. We have covered the first seven verses of that chapter. And our premise has always been in each message is that Jesus, they are looking towards the Messiah. We are looking back, and we know that Jesus fulfilled all what was proclaimed here. So today, the subtitle of my message is called Streets. We talked about the first week, Strength, second week, Signs, the third, Streams, and today we're going to talk about Streets, as it's mentioned in the passage. Let's go to verse 8. A highway shall be there and a road. Listen to what it says. And it shall be called the highway of holiness. We're talking about a way in the wilderness. And if you're born again, God's got you. Wherever you're at in life, what is happening in your life, you have had the Lord in you, God's got you. There is a way in the situation that you are facing. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others, whoever walks the road, although, listen to what it says, although a fool shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Hello, redeemed. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. See, they're facing the wilderness, but they come back not when they get there, but they'll come back with joy because the Messiah, Christ, our Savior, has fulfilled something. They shall obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing, or another translation will say mourning, shall flee away. So right away, let's get into this. There are three things about this street in the wilderness. There is a street that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Savior, has fulfilled everything. So on that street, you may obtain these things. In the midst of your wilderness, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of the situation, there is a way and there's an answer. And we will find out, of course, his name is Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we see, it's called a street of grace. Now, while I was studying this, when I first read this about the highway of holiness and the unclean can't walk there, I actually felt a little condemnation. You know that feeling of that, man, am I really holy? So is that my place? Or as some people think who don't know Scripture, think that you're going to go through such traumatic things, that joy cannot be a part of your life, that healing cannot be a part of your life, restoration cannot be a part of your life, redemption cannot be a part of your life, because you're just feeling the way you feel. But even though you feel certain things in your wilderness, we need to know the truth that will change your emotions and your feelings. And that's where I'm going in this. Sometimes when we read the Bible, the enemy attacks you while you read the Bible. Think about it. While Jesus was fasting and praying the Word of God, Satan was attacking him. So we're no different. We're no different. So when you feel condemnation, that is not from the Lord, because Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So Jesus says, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. So in the midst of your trial, even if it's because you've made some wrong choices, God's made a way. Because remember the last message? It's not about your works. It's about the work of Christ. And so the reality and the revelation of Isaiah, look at verse 8, A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. Some people think you're in trouble because you can't get there. I'm telling you, if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you're on that highway. The unclean shall not pass over it. You know, before Christ, I was unclean. But it shall be for others. You know, sometimes we think we come in church or we go certain places and we think, well, I know Pastor Angel's on that road. I know Michelle's on that road. Of course, our worship pastor, Pastor Ryan's on that road, but me? How could I be? How could I accept or receive all what the Messiah fulfilled? Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about your works. It's not about what you've done or even what you will do. It's about the work of Christ. But there is a next statement here. I'm just saying I'm not going to call any of you this, but I'll just use me as an example. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. So I got included in this. Because for years I was a fool. I didn't believe what I was told. And I didn't serve God. I did not get on that road because of my works. There is a way in the wilderness, and that way is the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And you have to really, if you're going to really grab a hold of the revelation of a way in the wilderness, you have to grab a hold of what I'm trying to bring you here today. This highway of holiness. I got on this road because of Him, not because of me. So let me be just a teacher now instead of a preacher. Let me just explain something. When you pull truth out of Scripture, that truth must be cohesive with all Scripture. Are you hearing that? Yeah. So another way to say it, cohesive with the nature and the character of God. So our God is a God of grace. Our God is a God that even though you done what you did, all right, that's not good English. Even though you done what you did, the grace of God is fulfilled through the work of Christ. When it says the unclean shall not pass, I am clean now because of the grace of God. It's not I've had a good week, so I'm in God's good graces. You ever hear people say that? I cringe sometimes, some of our church cliches. I've had a good week. God's going to do some mighty things in my life. No. Or I've had a bad week, so I'm in God's bad graces. Really? They don't know the character of God. They don't know the truth that will set you free. It's not I've had a good week. It's not that I've had a bad week. There is no such thing as bad grace, only good grace. So follow my thought. It doesn't matter what your performance was, because it's all about Christ's performance, what He did. So bottom line, you are on the road because of grace. A street or highway of holiness that has come because of grace. Think about it again. The unclean shall not pass over it. I have been made clean again by the blood of Jesus. So I get to walk on the road too. You get to walk on that road also. I am clean, and so are you, no matter what your past was. No matter what you did, watch this, last night. I know 1 John 1:9, that if we sin, we confess it to the Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Watch the wording, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Clean. We're clean because of his blood. There is a really good picture of this truth in the New Testament. I just want to quickly just bring this to you. What I'm trying to do is tell you a story with three points. I'm trying to really get you to the place, because every one of us either are experiencing or have experienced or going to experience a wilderness time. There's going to be situations in your life that rock your world. There are going to be situations in your life that you feel like, that what did I do wrong? Condemnation will want to just pour all over you. And I'm trying to get you to understand, in this series, there is a way, and if you want, then that way doesn't change. It's always the same, is that you get yourself into a place where you remind yourself of the truth of the way. The Gentiles were considered unclean by the Jews back in biblical times. There was a gentleman named Cornelius who was a Gentile who worshiped God and gave alms to the poor, so he was a good man. He cries out to God, and God sends Peter to him in Acts 10. Now, because of the thought process, Peter was struggling with, why are you sending me to this unclean person? So Peter, remember the story, goes up to the roof to pray, and God says the gospel goes to the Gentiles. Peter begins to pray, and the Bible tells us that Peter falls into a trance, and he sees a sheet coming down from heaven full of unclean animals. Back then, pigs, shrimp, lobster, everything that I like. So let me tell you, Memorial Day tomorrow, a lot of barbecue, a lot of hot dogs. God said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. So tomorrow, those ribs are going to be really good. Verse 14, let's catch up with the story. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Common, or you can say unclean. So Acts 28, Peter is explaining this and says, God has shown me that I should not call any man or person common or unclean. So in Acts, in this verse, they are having a council in Acts 15 to decide what to do with all the Gentile believers. What do we do with this? And Peter says, so God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. Pentecost Sunday, he gave the Holy Spirit in the proving of that God has cleansed all. And made no distinction between us, speaking of the Jews, and them, speaking of the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. So the word purifying, again, mostly is translated in the Bible as cleansing. God cleansed them just like he cleansed us, Jews and Gentiles. I really want to convince you, if you're going to move through your wilderness, if you're going to move through your difficult season, you have to be convinced you're cleaned. This road is a way in the wilderness, and again, it has a name, and it's the name Jesus. In John 14, he tells his disciples he's going away. And he says this, "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus said, "I am the way. I got you. I got you." Did you know the church before they were called Christians were called the way? The people of the way? 5 times in the book of Acts, the church was called the way. So Jesus' blood removes the sins of the flesh and the sins of the heart. Unforgiveness begins to take place. And every one of us needed a Savior. And we confess Him. That's the street of grace. So when you're in your difficult time, understand you're going to get through this because of what the Messiah has already done. Well, then in the same prophetic chapter, in verse 9, it begins to talk about, here's my second point, the street of safety. So there's a way, and it's grace, and it's fulfilled by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now there's a street of safety. Let's read it again. "No lion shall be there." It's not talking about the Lion of Judah, but the roaring lion. "Nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there." Now I'm going to show you something here, and I think sometimes we have a tendency to go overboard on the other spectrum that I'm going to talk to you about. Because, and what it does is it brings people into depression, and it brings you into doubt of wondering if God's really going to work with you and keep you on that road of holiness, because you're going to heaven because of the blood of Jesus. But also, we begin to walk in fear if we don't grab a hold of this truth. And fear has torment. And there's some people watching me online or maybe in this house. Maybe right now you're being tormented by fear. That is not of God. That is because we did not grab the revelation of the road of grace, and that there is safety in there, but also in the safety, there's some steps you and I have to take in the process of the safety. So let's look at it. Psalm 91:13 says, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample under feet." Jesus says this in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So no lion, no ravenous beast is on the road. So wisdom cries out, this is what I want to tell you. Don't go to the extreme, all right? Don't wander off the road. People ask, why did this happen? Don't wander off the road. Now, please know, I'm not talking about being saved or lost. In other words, whether you're going to heaven or not. That is solidified through the blood of Jesus Christ, through our faith, belief, and our faith in Him. Because we get to heaven by grace, not by our works. But even as Christians, we can see something and wander off the road. And when you wander off the road, you're in Satan's territory. You start looking for something you shouldn't be looking at. All right? You're in Satan's territory. You start flirting with someone you shouldn't because you're married. You begin to go into Satan's territory. If you start going to bars and drinking too much, you're in his territory. Don't get off the road, because the road does not have any lions. Let me say it another way. The lion's not on the road. The lion's sitting off the road. The lion's sitting off the road, and he's looking up at this road of holiness, at someone saved by grace through faith. And he can't go after that area because God's got a plan. But when you get off the road, the lion's there. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I'm just going to add to it, not taken away from the principle of the truth of the word, devour someone that's off the road. Because we live in a fallen world, folks. And because we live in a fallen world doesn't mean we're not attacked or doesn't mean we're not tempted. He attacked Jesus. Some of you have even heard Satan talk to you. You've heard demonic voices. And I want to say that to you. Says, oh, yeah, it's just really scary. No, it's not. I'm telling you, if you've heard that, I have. You have a great future. Satan talks with Jesus, and Jesus wasn't a bad person either. Neither are you. When the mistakes that you've made and the things that you've made isn't because you're a bad person, it's because you got off the road. Because why? Remember what we've learned? You have a great destiny. You have a great destiny. People will talk about how it's so hard, it's so difficult. Let me say it to you. Yes. Stay on the road, and God will take you through when it's hard. There are seasons in my life that it's hard. And I've had to make decisions. No, I will not listen to that, but I will stay on the road. I'm not talking about sin, another woman, or anything. That's far, no way. I'm a one-woman man. And I want you to understand, but there are situations. Do I want to get weary of well-doing? Do I want to struggle because something at work, speaking of you, someone looks like they're getting better favor than you? Maybe they are. That's the enemy saying, come on off the road, get into a fight. Let me tell you, you fight with the enemy, hand-to-hand with the enemy, you lose. But if you stay on that road and you fight in Jesus' name, the victory's already been won. Amen? Victory's already been won. So keep with me now. We're doing this journey. He attacked Jesus himself. Some of you have heard Satan talk, demonic. Satan talks to Jesus. Jesus is not bad. You're not bad. So just because it says no lions are on the road, don't think that you won't be tempted. And the first temptation is get off the road. I can't believe they did that. I am ticked at them. They will never ever do that again. I will. Boom. The lion starts purring. Another hot dog. So you have Street of Grace. I've given you all the material before in the first three messages. You have the Street of Grace. You have the Street of Safety. When attacks come, stay on that road. Stay focused in the purpose that God has given you. Here's the third. Street of Joy. This is really what I want to finish this series with. Isaiah 35:10. Listen closely. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. It didn't say, and the ransom, the redeemed, the ones who are born again, the ones who know Jesus, will finally get there. All right, you've ever heard that? And then we'll sing and rejoice because no more problems. Really? No, it's saying that you will sing before you get there. That you choose, because I've had, this is a battle with me, because I am a type A, get or done type person. And there are times in my life, it's taken years to see what God promised me to take place. And there are many times I want to get off the road and start fighting myself. But I have to back up, and I have to realize God's got a plan. He knows everything. Not, listen, extreme. Well, whatever. God knows everything. I'll just take it as it comes. Dude, no. I don't like it. I'm going to be patient. But I'm not going to be whatever. You ever hear anybody like that? And they call that faith. That is so far from faith. Isaiah 51:11. So the ransomed, let me go back to verse 10. I got to read this again. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing or mourning shall flee away. I said this 2-3 weeks ago. To some of us, mourning is over. I'm not saying that in the reality of that I don't care about you. I care about you so much. Some of us, the mourning time is over. And I'm not just talking about losing someone in death. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about you had a goal and you haven't reached the goal and you gave up on the goal. I'm talking about that you and I have this amazing Savior that can do all things. And we need to go back to the understanding is what it's saying here is that the mourning time is over. How long is everlasting? Grace salvation is everlasting. I love the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament and the New Testament and the King James Version, it says, sorrow and mourning shall flee away. There are some here that you're being attacked by mourning. And when I say mourning, it's that you've given up. You've lost purpose. You've lost your dream. But how do you do that? You get back on the highway of holiness. You begin to rise up in the things of your life. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, concerning those things, those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Or you don't grieve as others who have no hope. But we do grieve. We do go through hard times. It's hard sometimes. We struggle at times. But here's the point, is that we get on that highway of grace, of safety, and allow God to fulfill this cleansing in our life. I can sing, not because everything has changed or everything is over. I can sing because I've been cleansed. It's a done deal. The word cleansing, this is not grammatical, but think clean, sing. Are you clean Amen, you are, by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, if I would just ask, and ask a lot of you to respond to me, are you clean? You'd go, yeah. Think. I wonder. By the blood of Jesus Christ, are you clean?
Yes.
Then sing. Don't walk around. Let me tell you, I'm not talking about physical, bodily, emotional things that are going on in your system. I'm talking about emotional depression. Break out of it. Because you're clean, so sing. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen? Have you ever... Okay, I had never thought this, but have you ever thought, oh, someone wants to go to lunch? Oh, I'm going to hear the same story. Okay, now... I've been with people, and it was spiritually led by God. I've been with people. I heard the same story for 20 times till they broke out of it because they needed me to be there, to stand and be strong. But there are a lot of people, they struggle. I'm not saying you are doing this. A lot of people struggle. It's because they lose the focus and the understanding of the highway of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I am a child of God. God has given me purpose and has given me dreams. Some of them haven't taken place yet, but has given me dreams, and those dreams are yea and amen in heaven. And what I need to do is I need to remind myself of these verses we're talking about today. That I am saved, I am clean, there's safety in walking in that lifestyle, and now I can rejoice. I have had in ministry of 46 years where I've had to go identify someone that blew their head off with a shotgun. I've been in ministry where I've seen someone who worked wonderfully, wasn't on staff, wasn't a pastor, all this stuff, but they murdered their wife. I have been there and have to identify in many different aspects of this. I still today, at times, let me tell you, at times, for some of you who've been in the military, been in warfare, police officers, whatever it is, that you will wake up in the middle of the night with the visual, I still have those. But it doesn't defeat me, because when I see the visual, I begin to pray for the family, that their mourning time is over and they can walk in the joy of the Lord in spite of what life dealt them. Amen? Amen. See, I sense the Holy Spirit is really breaking some things and really causing some of us to rethink the steps we've taken after we faced our tragedies, our difficulties. Some of you, and I said, Lord, I don't really want to be strong in this, because some of you are facing your tragedies right now. You're watching online and you want to shut me down. And I'm telling you, don't do this. This is the heart of a gracious God, a loving God that says that I know, I know. See, Jesus, when he called Lazarus out, the Bible says that he wept. He didn't weep because he knew he's going to raise the dead. He wept because of the heartache of the people around him. And that's what I'm saying. I weep at times in my office, in my man cave, when I am praying for you. I weep for some of you because of what you're facing. I'm on the phone with some of you with tears going down my cheek, trying to be strong. But I'll tell you what, it's difficult. You face difficult things. But I'm asking you, instead of basing on, do I feel good about the thing? No. I didn't feel good about going and I almost said his name, but and having to say, yeah, that's him, with half his head blown away. I still don't feel good about that. But what I feel about is there's joy in my heart because I was able to minister to hundreds of people at the time, at the funeral, after the funeral, to bring the peace of God and the joy of the God in their life. And yes, there was a time of mourning, but now mourning is over. The joy of the Lord. You're clean, so sing and walk in the joy of the Lord. Break out of this. Break out of the past of your marriage if there's been things said that have hurt you, things that have done or not done. Break out of that and begin to sing the joy of the Lord to your spouse, to your friends, and walk in this. Are you hearing this? Man. God loves us. Why don't people rejoice? Again, let me give you some more reasons. In the prodigal son story, there are three stories in Luke 15. There's a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one left, and there was 99. He left the 99, went and found the one. There's a woman who had 10 coins, lost one, and found it. The father had two sons, lost one. The son comes back, and he was found. So let me read to you and look at what each one did when they found what they were looking for. And I just told you what you looked for, and you found it. His name is Jesus Christ. With that, Luke 15:6, the shepherd. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Rejoice. Luke 15:9, the woman with a coin. When she had found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. The prodigal son. And bring the fatted calf here, and kill it. See, God's into meat. Kill the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So the question is, what was the first thing they did when they found what they were looking for? I used this before about 3 years ago. They stopped looking for it. What are you looking for? To bring that joy. It's already been found. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Clap for him. Amen. What are you looking for? All the home churches, what are you looking for? You found him. His name is Jesus Christ. They stopped looking for it, and they rejoiced. Why am I saying this? You were born looking for love. You were born looking for forgiveness. You were born looking for acceptance. And what I need to tell you is you need to hear in your spirit, not your emotions, your soul. You found it. You can stop looking for it. You found him. Now there's only one thing to do. In the midst of your difficulty, it's a choice by truth. If you get the revelation of it, the choice is easy. If you want to fight this revelation, the choice is hard. You found it, so rejoice. There's one thing you have to do. God, what do I need to do? God, help me. There's one thing you need to do. Rejoice. Get back on the road of grace, which brings safety. And then you begin to walk in a lifestyle that in the midst of pain, you can sing. I want to hug every one of you. I want to tell you, it's all right. It's good. It's good. I always tell a lot of people, you can't fix them. You can only fix you. How do you fix? Remind yourself, you found them, so begin to rejoice. Let's all stand. Let me conclude with just a few more statements, and then I'm just going to bless you with a revelation of God. Because Jesus has come, we are walking on streets of grace. The Bible calls it a highway of holiness. It's not because you've done everything right. It's a highway of holiness because we've been set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ. It does not make you perfect. But literally removes the power of imperfectness. Hang out with me, you'll find out I make mistakes. As they say in the South, I ain't perfect, but I have the perfect one residing in me. And my story, the conclusion of my story, as I'm going to heaven, and I walk in holiness because of him. The anointing of God follows me. And you're no different. The anointing of God follows you. You have it. Someone here, there's a situation with your elbow. In Jesus' name, you are healed. Receive that in Jesus' name. Someone online that you have been having massive headaches, in Jesus' name right now, that headache's gone. Please respond to us and let me know that that took place in your life. Healing, restoration is happening because this revelation has manifested in your hearts. Begin to sing. The Messiah came and made a way in your wilderness. Walk in this joy. Father, in Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. This is a house of miracles. All the home churches, all the many hundreds and hundreds that are watching online, in Jesus' name, I proclaim a visual understanding of this revelation, that even this afternoon, that we will rejoice and sing because you have come and the answers have been fulfilled. And I give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. I love y'all. Have a great time with your family. And we will see you next week. God bless you.